Amen. Amen. Well, I want to, I'm going to talk about the book of Philippians this morning. So we're going to go to our first slide. And basically, this is going to be about having a partnership in the gospel. And just to kind of give you an overview of the book, Paul likely wrote Philippians near the end of his Roman imprisonment, probably in AD 61 or 62. You know, Paul ministered to Philippi during his second missionary journey, spending about 3 months in that city. And the letter to the Philippians was to be delivered by Epaphroditus, who had come to Paul in Rome with financial help from the church at Philippi. And you can find that in Philippians 2:25. But during his time in Rome, Epaphroditus, he took ill, he got sick, which delayed his return home, and therefore the delivery of the letter was delayed. And during his first stay in Philippi, Paul, he met a businesswoman who opened up her home to Paul and his co-workers, and that was his first encounter in the city of Philippi, and that's in Acts 16:13-15. He also had an encounter with the Philippian jailer, who was converted under Paul's ministry after the severe earthquake miraculously, you know, opened up the cell's doors. And you can find that in Acts 16:22-34. So that's just a little background of this book. But I just wanted to throw a question out there. When you hear the phrase partnership in the gospel, what comes to mind? Working together. Okay. Anybody else? Peter. Okay. Working together towards a common goal or purpose. John. Teamwork. Yes. Like-mindedness. That's good. Zach. Mm-hmm. Amen. God is universal. You know, partnership in the gospel has really taken a whole new meaning to me. I mean, I can remember being in San Antonio in 2012 and thinking, whoa, you know, 18,000 disciples from all over the world worshiping together. You know, that resonated with me, that just impacted me in an incredible way. We're not just a church. You know, God has moved throughout the world to have disciples, you know, raise up and worship all throughout the world. You know, and after visiting Africa 3 weeks ago, you know, I see our partnership a little clearer now. And I want to commend this church because, you know, just like the church in Philippi was giving to Paul's ministry, the church over there in Lusaka is very grateful for your generosity, for your love, for your prayers. And they could not express that enough while we were there. You know, we are in partnership with people there. You know, just a quick story. We were traveling maybe 6 hours in southern Lusaka. And, you know, we were traveling in a car, and it was a little rough, but, you know, we were having fun. But, you know, Twambo was driving, and, you know, he would call a disciple in a city that we were heading to, maybe 3 hours away, and say, "Hey, I have a brother and sister that I want you to meet." And I'm telling you, you know, we were less than an hour away, but they were right there, all of them, to meet us and greet us in the middle of the day. And that just blew me away. But I'll talk more about Africa later. Next slide. So I'm going to read Philippians. We're going to start in Philippians 1. Starting in verse 3. Paul says, "I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." And he goes on to say, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." And just looking at that passage, looking at Paul's heart, you know, to the church there, to the Philippians church, and a couple things stood out to me. You know, in this, he says, "all of you," he says that three times, "all of you." He longed for all of the people there in the church. And that impacted me. That, you know, Paul's heart was just not for certain individuals, but he longed for the entire church. He had affection for the entire church. And it convicted me to the point where I'm like, you know, I got to start going through my directory and really praying for everybody in this church. I mean, he says, "all of you." And we have an opportunity to imitate Paul. But my question is, do you feel as though you are in a partnership right here in Gwinnett like Paul? If not, you know, what are some of the things we can do to change that individually? And that's a question. What are some of the things that we can do to change that? Karen. Practicing hospitality.
I know I might ruffle some feathers, but we really need to get out of the habit of sitting with certain people or sitting in certain areas and fellowshipping with certain people. We really need to branch out. Like, if you know somebody you really don't know, find out what's going on in your life, your family, and just ask them to pray for them.
Amen. Getting to know different people, sitting with different people. Amen. Being open, getting to know each other better. My next slide. You know, when I think about a partnership, you know, we need to persevere through adversity when we're in a partnership, because there's going to be adversity, right? Okay. So the Bible says in Philippians 1:27, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. And I have memorized this scripture. I mean, this is my go-to scripture, because it seems as though in the 25 years I've been a disciple, God has put me in situations where I have to recall this particular scripture. And I know some of us are in the same category, you know, but when it says whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, you know, like I said, I memorized this scripture. You know, in a personal application, I see it as a challenge to resolve in my heart that I will stay faithful to Christ no matter what happens. You know, seeking to conduct my life in a manner that is worthy of the cross of Christ. And he throws it out there, whatever happens. You know, I've always considered whatever to mean whatever happens to me. Okay, I take that personal. Whatever happens to me, you know, that is whether I'm having a good day or a bad day. Whether things are going well or I'm going down a rough road. Whatever happens to me, I am to conduct myself in a manner that is worthy of the cross of Christ. And things happen. Things happen at school, right? Things happen at work. A lot of things happen at home, right? A lot of things happen in our parenting. A lot of things happen on 285, 85, 20, you know. A lot of things happen. Right? And, you know, the Bible says that we have to train ourselves to be godly. That's not Steve McKinney's job. That's not the elder's job. That's not Tony's job. That's not John Yang's job. We have to train ourselves. And that's going to, you know, require getting in the Word, praying, and just being faithful and true to what God's Word says. What does conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the cross of Christ, what does that look like? Anybody? John?
Forgiveness, humility.
Is that? Self-control, that's a good one. Perry? Being gentle when you respond to people. Doing the opposite of what you want to do. That's good. That's good. Slow to anger. Jennifer. Loving unconditionally. Giving. Do not pay evil for evil. Miss Chloe. Just denying yourself and being real with yourself as far as what you want to do. One more time. Okay. Having a heart for the lost. Tracy. Loving the people the way God loves us. So those are good. Let's go to our next slide. You know, I think true partnership requires humility. The Bible says in Philippians 2, starting in verse 1, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Church, that is a high calling. And if anybody has that on straight, please help me. Because that's a high calling for all of us. You know, it says being like-minded, having the same love. And he's talking about the love of Christ. And doing nothing out of selfish ambition. But that's going to take humility. Humility in our workplaces, in our homes, right here in the church. And humility, you know, I know for me, that's tough. That's something that I have to battle with day in and day out. Just being humble. Before God, before my wife, my children, my co-workers. It's a constant battle. So my question to the church would be, how would the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett look if we all decided to value others above ourselves? What would that look like? Anybody? We'd be unified, yeah. Excuse me? All of our finances would be in order. Becky. Wow, there would be a waiting list to be a teacher on Sunday mornings. It would be very, very, very attractive. Karen. It would be a peace and people would just want to stay. A higher percentage of kingdom kids becoming disciples. Is that Jolisha? We would be overwhelmed by the support and the love from the family of God. So those are good. Let's go to the next slide. Philippians 3. Start reading in verse 12. Paul says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul is just being honest. He's like, listen, I haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. We haven't arrived. But Paul says that he is going to press on. He's going to move forward towards that goal. There's going to be some times where we fall, we mess up. Thank God for grace, right? Grace is amazing. I thank God for his grace. But Paul says that he's going to forget what is behind. What stops us from forgetting what is behind? We have a hard time forgiving ourselves. Wow. We put conditions on our forgiveness. It's good. Trying to change ourselves instead of allowing God's Spirit to change us. Becky. Listening to the enemy, listening to Satan. Barbara. Yeah, sometimes our mistakes from the past kind of stifles us from really allowing God to use us and to move on to bigger and better things. Wow. Keeping your eye on Jesus and just knowing that there's hope in Christ. Mary. Yeah, just loving being in the situation that you're in. It's familiar to you, and you know you just don't want to move away from that. Karen. Amen. A lack of relationships. So Paul's joy at the mere thought of the Philippians church is undeniable in the book of Philippians. And that's the same joy and that's the same affection that he wants us to have for one another. You know, to lead to the Philippians, to this truth, Paul took them directly to Jesus. In chapter 2, he's like, this is the only way. It's through Jesus, through the humility of Jesus, through the heart of Jesus. And with that, we also can become true partners in the gospel. And with that being said, I'm going to use the last 10 minutes to kind of just share about our travels. Chloe and I want to thank you guys just for, you know, the opportunity. It was life-changing. And just being with the people, that was our goal. We just wanted to be with the people. And it's some incredible people there in Zambia. We were able to travel to Durban. But, you know, just to be honest, the people in Zambia, the most hospitable people that I've ever met since I've been alive. And I can say that without a doubt. I mean, they were willing to do whatever. They were willing to meet whenever. They were willing to serve whenever. There were no conditions put on that. And the other thing that kind of stood out to me was the simplicity of their lives. Everything was just simple. There was just, we're going to meet, we're going to eat, we're going to pray. And it was very, very simple. And I love that. If we can go to the next slide and possibly, Derek, could we dim the lights just a little bit? So this is Chloe and I with Duncan and Lisa in Durban. And they send their love. They're grateful for this partnership. This partnership could not, you know, have started without, you know, God orchestrating the connection between Duncan and Lisa and the McKinnons. And with that connection, God has allowed us to really establish an amazing, amazing partnership. You know, Duncan, he kind of oversees the church there in Durban, along with the church in Lusaka. There's a church in Malawi that he oversees. There's a church in Port Elizabeth. So he has his hands full. And he has a heart for the people. It's amazing to see how he gives from the time he gets up, from the time he lays down. He's a giver. And he's a marathon runner, too. And I wasn't about to try to keep up with him while I was out there. Next slide. So you may not be able to see this, but this is sort of like a map of Lusaka and our travels. So at the top there, that's Lusaka, and we traveled all the way down to Livingston, and that's in the border of Zimbabwe. And that was an amazing, amazing trip. It was me, Chloe, Twombo, and Yvonne. And that was an amazing trip because, you know, we were able to, you know, have a lot of conversation and pray and just really get caught up. But on our way back from Livingston, and you can't see the little different cities, but right there in Livingston, we met this brother and sister right there in the middle, Nathaniah, I want to say, and Everest. They're from Livingston. There's three disciples down there. Three. And when I tell you, we told them that we were coming, they immediately opened up their home. They immediately wanted to share, you know, their story. They wanted to share their struggles. But they also said, basically, that you coming here means more to us than any money, basically, that you can give us. They want relationships. And, you know, while we were there, you know, we were able to visit Victoria Falls. And while we were there, we met some people that we were sharing our faith with. To try to kind of, you know, get them connected with the brothers and sisters there. We met this guy named Barnabas. And that was a wonderful thing because he was from the Church of Christ. And he was wanting to know more. So prayerfully, they've already made a connection. But we also, and I'm not joking, we met this guy, his name was Moses. And, you know, he wanted to know more. So we talked to him. And Chloe met this woman, and her name was Charity. And, you know, she was very eager to know more about this small group. They meet at a elementary school on Tuesday nights. It's one room that they meet at. But they do meet, and they do, you know, they love each other. Next slide. And so in our travels back up to Lusaka, we stopped in this city. Steve, you can help me with this name, Kaloma? Kalomo, yes. So this couple, Victor and Jesse, Victor, he originally started at Hope Worldwide in Lusaka. And when I tell you this brother is faithful, he is a faithful brother. And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, him and his wife are the only disciples in that particular town. But he is faithful. He is faithful. He works where they kind of distribute the land in that particular town. So we drove up to this town, and just people everywhere, and people lined up to get qualified to get land in southern Lusaka. And so we drive up and we park, and Twombo looks to his left, and there's Twombo's dad standing right there. I mean, in all the places that we could go, we drove up. Twombo's dad is standing right there waiting to see if he could get some land. So we get out of the car, and he looks at Twombo, and he's just like, "What are you doing here?" It was very, very funny, but it was really good because, you know, Victor was able to connect with his dad, you know, and work as far as trying to get him some land, because Victor kind of oversees that portion in that city. Next slide. This is another city that we stopped in, Choma. And what you see Victoria, Sharon, Juliet, and Marshall. And like I said earlier, when we were traveling, Twombo just called them on the way and said, "Hey, can we meet?" And I'm going to tell you, Victor was walking probably a couple of miles to get to that location. But he got there. It was amazing. It's amazing to see their faith and their commitment and their love for each other. So that was very, very inspiring. Next slide. So we get back in Lusaka. This couple, Gasanga and Bertha, incredible couple. They're part of the leadership team there in Lusaka. Very, very giving couple. She can really, really cook. Really good. And the hospitality was just over the top. Next slide. So this is Chloe and I with Nadine Templer and Steve, and he kind of heads up Hope Worldwide in Zambia. We were there, you know, we were able to do a devotional for the 40 volunteers that were there. They renovated this early childhood development center. It was just an amazing, amazing time. I could show you more pictures, but, you know, Nadine is just, her heart for children and orphans is just amazing. So, you know, if you're ever out there and you see Hope Worldwide, you know, it's just a life-changing trip to be a part of that group. Next slide. So this is Joseph and Daisy in Lusaka. incredible couple. He is the president of the board of directors for the church there, man of integrity, a man that's been entrusted with a lot, but a man that was very humble and wanting to learn and wanting to grow. Next slide. The team ministry. What a group. I'm telling you, I love this group right here. I mean, that guy with the long arms, he was so tall. You know, it was just amazing. That selfie was just like, okay, we're going to get this done. But an incredible group of young adults that love God. They love each other. When we said, hey, we want to meet, they were there. And it's just amazing how the parents got them there. This is Peter and Wendy. Amazing couple. I know that Wendy really, really, really misses Carol. You know, she is an amazing cook as well. But, you know, just a great couple. We were able to pray and spend some time. And, you know, what I took away was, you know, everyone wants to learn. They want to learn. They want to grow. But they desire relationships. They desire relationships. And with that being said, you know, I'm going to dismiss everyone, but I have a short video that I want to play from my experience with the worship service there in Lusaka.
Amalumbayo, amalumbayo, amalumbayo. You're dismissed.